What's up, boys and girls? Welcome to Hoop There It Is on Campus. Oh, hold on. That came off the dome. I think I like that, Cam.
Okay.
Cheers to my brain.
Cheers to your brain indeed, sir. Salute.
So before we get into this, this is brand new. Cam and I haven't talked college basketball. It is my fault. We haven't done a college basketball episode yet. But to be fair, you dick, college basketball is crazy. We'll talk about a couple of things here. We'll get into some craziness. Before we do, I want to share with you, Cam, and with you, audience, I got COVID tested the old-fashioned way today. It's safe to say the brain swab is the old-fashioned way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a teacher, and not at Baylor University, because I wouldn't speak or drink on here because they would kick me out for not being a Baptist. But I teach here in my city. So anyway, I teach, and I had two kids that tested positive. They hopefully are fine. They seem to be fine now. Very, very low symptoms. Regardless, whatever. One of the students was in my classroom for 2 hours, 20 minutes without a mask. Me too, because we eat and she's in my lunch period. What many people don't know is I have a bit of what they call hypochondria. So I'm cooking tuna casserole today. I stayed home today. We found out the girl test positive yesterday. So I stay home today, work, teach from home, because I had the option to, and I had like 3 hours of positive kids in my class, right? So I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna stay home. I took cook tuna casserole and I opened two cans of tuna and I go, I didn't smell very strong. Uh-oh. And then I start sniffing everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything. Like, you know, like start scratching places that maybe you haven't showered in a while. Like you haven't cleaned in a while. And you're like, does this smell? And it didn't. And then I was like, oh, I bathed recently. It's fine. And then I start smelling like the pepper shaker, garlic, and like things. I'm like, I have a weak sense of smell. What is going on here? So I freak the fuck out. I go get tested. I go tell them what's going on. And I'm like, hey, I haven't really been, I don't know if I've been exposed or not. Tell them what's going on. And they look at me like this, Cam. You want to get tested? I said, yeah. Like, I'm kind of freaking out. My wife's a teacher too. So I go sit in the car. I had tuna casserole for dinner. Mm-hmm. That came back, smelled all of that. And then I go, oh no. I'd already paid for the test. Hadn't gone yet. I was waiting in my car. I go inside. She's like, okay, are you ready? And I'm like, yeah, sure. It won't be that bad. Lean back. And she jabs my fucking brain. I grab her arm like this and I push her away and I go, no, 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 fuck, 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 shit, 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 shit. And she's like, are you okay? And I said, no, what the fuck did you just do to me? 5 minutes goes by. She gets the other one. I start pacing the room after and I'm like, am I bleeding? Like that is how I say it, Cam. I ask her if I'm bleeding. I swear to God, I met Jesus. That second jab, I saw Jesus and he said, you're fucking fine, dude. Chill out. That's what he said to me. Jesus cusses, in case you guys didn't know. But he told me that. I saw him. He told me to stop freaking out and that I need to not be a hypochondriac. Test comes back negative because at that point, I'm like, oh, I don't have this. Like, as soon as the second swab go into my nose, I went, I don't have COVID. I don't have COVID. I know I don't have COVID. Holy crap, I paid $75 to be physically abused.
Some people pay more. You know what I mean?
Some people don't have insurance. Yes, that's true.
Well, no, some people pay more to be physically abused.
That's true. Like, you know, like, what was it called? BDSM?
I'm not saying any other things other than that statement right there. I refuse to go down that rabbit hole.
Anyway, guys, I got, let me just tell you, it doesn't pay to be a hypochondriac. Make sure you actually have COVID symptoms. Don't get your brain abused. Welcome to Hoop There It Is on Campus. Bumper. All right, let's talk about college basketball. That's what you boys and girls are here for. So hopefully that you guys aren't someone that took a COVID test and you're like, wow, that guy's a real bitch. And yes, I am. But let's move on. Let's talk about it. So college basketball, top 25. This is what it shakes out to look like right now. Do you have it pulled up by chance?
I do.
Which one do you have?
ESPN.
ESPN. Perfect. I'll look at that one. I had CBS and ESPN. So Gonzaga is coaches poll. We'll just go AP top 25. Gonzaga, Baylor. That hasn't changed since preseason. Iowa did slide up to 3 after Villanova got upset. They've been there for 2 weeks now. Michigan State rounds out the top 4. Kansas is 5. Illinois 6. They've moved down because they were 5, but they had an impressive win against Duke recently. Houston, Creighton, Villanova, Duke is your top 10. West Virginia didn't suffer any move back after barely losing to Gonzaga last week in a great game. Tennessee has not played yet, which is disappointing because that's going to be a great squad. Wisconsin, Texas, Virginia Tech, North Carolina, Texas Tech, Virginia, Richmond, Florida State, Rutgers, Ohio State, Arizona State, San Diego State, and Louisville. My first reaction to this is, where's the Pac-12 and why are more Pac-12 teams not ranked? Because the Pac-12 is going to be very good this year, I think.
They are. It's weird that they don't have Tennessee has played a game because I'm a Tennessee fan. You just played Colorado Tuesday.
So what was the score to that game? I didn't see it.
It was 56-47. It was uglier than the score sounds.
You know what, though? There's a lot of ugly basketball going on right now. There is.
However, Trick Rick, which is what we call him down in Knoxville. Five lefties to start the game. You're welcome, Earth.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen, this might be okay. And this is off topic, but we'll get back onto it. This may be the most talented team Rick Barnes has ever had, including the Durant year.
Well, the Durant year, it was him. Who was it? It was him and who was the point guard for that team? Augustine, DJ Augustine.
Yeah, Augustine, yeah.
Yeah. So the best thing that ever happened to Baylor basketball, I'm a Baylor fan. If you guys listen to enough podcasts of me, which there's a million of them on this network, I'm a Baylor fan. The best thing that ever happened to Scott Drew was, one, he learned how to coach, and two, Rick Barnes leaving was very, very good for Baylor because Rick Barnes is a phenomenal recruiter and actually a good coach, unlike smart guy Shaka Smart.
Shaka is having a rough time there.
They're good this year, but they struggled last night.
They did. They struggled last night, and when he was at his peak and he made that move to Texas, I remember the day that it was like Shaka Smart leaving, going to Texas, and people were like, "Holy crap!"
I was concerned.
You at the Jack? Oh, I bet the Big Ten was just like on their heels on that. And it was a guy that you want to win. Like, I like Shaka. I think he's a good dude. I think he's a really good coach. You kind of pull for him, and then he gets to Texas, and you kind of forget he was there for a while.
Yeah, the thing is with Texas, though, is they hire these huge names, like Tom Herman at University of Texas football.
Yeah.
And the problem is that the expected success for those programs is actually significantly higher than what it should be. Yes. So University of Texas, we assume this is going to be a perennial top 10 basketball, top 5 football, and those programs just haven't been that way. Even when Rick Barnes was there, they weren't winning Big 12 titles. Kansas has had that thing on lock forever. They've literally won every Big 12 title.
Lifetime.
Yeah, let's talk about this top 5. So we got Gonzaga at 1, Baylor at 2, Iowa, Michigan State, Kansas. I will tell you my first reaction is I think Kansas is very overrated. I think that they are too highly ranked. I don't think that this Kansas team, I've seen this Kansas team play a couple of games. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's something from this Bill Self team that doesn't seem as good for me. They gave up 102 points in Foghorn It was a non-con game and at a neutral site. They gave up 102 to Gonzaga game 1. And they're giving up a lot of points. 102 to Gonzaga. They gave up 72 to St. Joe's. They gave up 62 to a bad Kentucky team. Let's just call it what it is. That's not a good Kentucky team. And they barely squeaked by there. They give up 54 to Washington, which is fine. Washington is not very good. Baylor smoked them too. North Dakota State gave up 61, squeaked by there. And then they squeaked by a very talented Creighton team. At 73-72, but this is not a Kansas team that I think is deserving of a top 5. I think Illinois, Houston, Creighton, and Villanova and West Virginia are all better teams than them.
I tend to agree with you on that. I think, and I was talking to a buddy of mine, and I think you probably subscribe to this theory too, is nothing before January 6th really matters in college basketball. So as long as you're a big, you know, for the most
part. It depends on your schedule, but yes, I see where you're at.
But it's, for the most part, if you're a big name and you have a winning record, you're probably going to be near the top to start the season.
Sure.
Now, Kentucky took a nosedive to start this year.
That's because they're not good.
Yeah, they're not. And Cal knows it. And this is what, and here I defend Calipari all the time to my college basketball friends that want to just like poo-poo his name. I defend what he does and how he talks about certain things. I'm with you. I think Kansas may not be the top five team right now, but they're Kansas and they're 4-1. So they're going to be.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But sure. I'm with you. I think when it all shakes out, we'll see something a little different.
In that Gonzaga game, as all you guys that know that will listen to me pod also, I do sports gamble and it is a favorite pastime of mine, actually. Gonzaga versus Kansas, Gonzaga was like 2.5 point dogs, I want to say. The spread was like 2.5. I thought it was the easiest take of college basketball this year. Cam, I think Gonzaga, Baylor, and Iowa are head and shoulders above everyone else. And I'm not saying that, yes, of course, it sounds like there's inherently some bias in Baylor. I joke that Baylor would have killed Gonzaga, but truthfully, I don't actually know which team is better there. I think they both have a lot of strengths. I think Baylor has a significantly better defense than the majority of this country in basketball, but offensively, they can be sporadic. Baylor has a lot of depth offensively this year, but we lost a huge name in Freddie Gillespie. But there are two centers now that back him up. Baylor's big. They're about 9 deep. They have some scores that came in, a scorer, Ed Flagler, who's come in on this team and dropped 17 his first night. We annihilated Washington. I was unsure of whether I thought we were a top five team, but Baylor, the way they played in the second half against Illinois, that's a damn good Illinois team. Like someone that very well could win the whole thing. They could come in as a 3 seed and I would be scared shitless to play Illinois again. Cause I think they'd beat us the second time. They have great guards. They play super fast. They're awesome.
Yeah.
But that's my opinion there. I think Michigan State is fine, but I just don't think anyone is up to snuff with those three teams.
Yeah. I'm with you. I actually cut Iowa off. I think it's Gonzaga and Baylor and then the field. I think if you look at, and it's about time we start considering Gonzaga as one of the greatest college programs in basketball.
Yes, it is. Yes, like absolutely it is.
It's high time they sit on Mount Rushmore with all these other teams. And it's high time they get mentioned with all the other blue bloods.
Well, they don't have a title. That's why they don't have that rep yet.
Right. But as far as just a program, like what he's able to do every year. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And I think Gonzaga is rightfully number one. Yeah. I think they are a little bit better than Baylor. I think their scoring is more diverse. I think they have more diverse ways to put points on the board. Now, that's nitpicking because I think Baylor's a really good team too. And if either one of them won it, I'm not shocked. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think the love of Iowa is Garza, and I don't know if I trust a second and third option. I think they're a good team. I think they're a good team, but you go down the line at Baylor, you've got two or three scorers immediately that you trust. Same with Gonzaga. I don't know if Iowa has that.
Well, Gonzaga and Baylor's big thing isn't even that. It's that you have Baylor has two defensive player of the year preseason candidates in Mark Vidal and Davion Mitchell. And you have a player of the year candidate in Jared Butler. That team is incredibly deep. Sure. Gonzaga has Time or Tim, however you say his last name, averaging 23.3 points a game.
Yeah.
Which is just stupid. Yayi is incredible too, their point guard. Gonzaga is incredible. Suggs is their point guard. I'm sorry. Suggs, Yayi, and Time or Tim. I don't know what his damn name is. These guys are fantastic players. And Gonzaga clearly is very, very good. The diversity in which these teams score, I think, is an interesting thing you bring up because Baylor's shooting like 45% from 3-point line right now. Gonzaga only shoots about 29. I think Baylor might be not the top, but they've got to be near the top in 3-point shooting in the country. They're shooting 47% from three. That team, and we have two scorers averaging 15, one averaging 14. All the starters are averaging double digits, which is but you're right though. Like you look at Gonzaga, you look at Baylor and what they've done so far. I mean, Gonzaga beat up on Kansas, Baylor beat up on Illinois. Nobody's that good this early, typically.
No, not really. And you know, to your point again, Gonzaga's got two guys that are averaging 20.
Yeah.
You know, Ayayi is third in points average per game, and he's almost scoring what Baylor's leading scorer is per game.
Right.
He's only like a point and a half or something off of
him. Yeah.
It's scary in Gonzaga's way. And, you know, as you pointed out, defensively, they're getting it done. These teams are coming in to a good team like Illinois and a team like Kansas that everybody just expects to win a banner every year, and rightfully so, they should. And they're making them look funky, look real rough offensively because of what they're able to do. And when you get into the X's and O's of it, there's a lot of stuff that they're doing. But just when you look at it from kind of 30,000 feet, they're making these teams struggle early. And to get a team to struggle like that early offensively is something.
Gonzaga's had a tough schedule too. I mean, they came out immediately against Kansas, won by 12. They handled Auburn by 23. Mm-hmm. With, oh my God, what's his damn name? Coach
Bruce Pearl.
Thank you, Bruce Pearl, old Tennessee coach, right?
We don't talk about it, but yes,
I know that. They handled Bruce Pearl, which Bruce Pearl's a good coach, and usually that Auburn team fights harder than that. Sure. And listen, they took care of the Huggy Bear in West Virginia, 87-82. And Bob Huggins is an incredible coach, and I'm not looking forward to my Bears playing that team because the goddamn Mountaineers dirty up the game, and they still couldn't stop Gonzaga from scoring 87. It is a damn shame. Gonzaga has had to cancel a ton of games, though. We won't see them again until they play Iowa. And think about what was. Gonzaga would have played Kansas, West Virginia, Baylor, and Iowa before Christmas, Cam. Jeez. And if they would have lost one of those games. Like, unless they are just – there's two ways this would have happened. They would have either lost one of those games or – they would have peaked too early, and they would have struggled in the tournament because they peaked too early. But if they ran that gauntlet, let's say they dropped a game to Iowa or dropped a game to Baylor, which is most likely what would have happened. They would have dropped one of those two games. Mm-hmm. More likely Baylor. They'll probably handle Iowa.
Yeah.
Not saying Baylor for sure would have beat them, but I'm just saying if they were going to lose one of them, that's who they would have lost to.
I agree.
If they went and ran the table, I mean, there's nothing that could happen the rest of the year because their conference is not going to beat them. So they would just run the table undefeated with three top 10 wins. And then boom, they're the number one overall seed no matter what happens.
Yeah. Then three top 10 wins before Christmas. They could have stopped their non-conference schedule at Christmas and still been a number one seed.
And their schedule, I mean, like, they play Iowa. They play Northwestern State. They play nobody after that. Actually, there's nothing exciting here. What am I saying? BYU. Yeah,
But again, before Christmas, you're playing Baylor, who will probably win the Big 12. You're going to play Iowa, who will probably win the Big 10.
Big 10's going to be tough, though.
You beat both of them before Christmas Eve. It will be, yeah. But if you look early, right now, like if we looked at this ranking in the midseason, you'd say, well, they beat a team that was two, they beat a team that was three, they beat it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let's talk about the Big 10, actually. So Big 10 is actually one of the most interesting conference. The Big 10 is the best basketball conference, the best conference in basketball. And there's really like Big 12 might be close, but I not really. It's definitely the Big 10. You have Iowa and Michigan both in the top five. Then you have Illinois, Michigan State. Sorry.
Yeah, the disrespect.
I'm sorry.
Party like that.
And I love Tom Izzo too. Iowa, Michigan State, Illinois, all in the top 10 there. Then you have Wisconsin in the top 15. They were preseason top five, but got upset by a team that had no business beating them. I mean, that's four teams in the top 15. Mm-hmm. Ohio State makes an appearance in the top 25, and Michigan is going to cause some problems for those teams. I think Michigan is a real good basketball team.
Yeah. Michigan is the team right now that I think a lot of people are in love with. That's not getting a lot of looks. They've been fortunate enough. I think, especially this year, more so than others, is all of their early games have been played. There's not been a cancellation to say as to some degree that other teams have had. They're five games deep right now. And so they've got a lot of playing time that they get to work with early in the season, which is great for Howard and what he's trying to do. Yep. First year coach, like, man, what a time to be a first year coach with that offseason. Holy crap. And he's got those boys rolling right now, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they look great. And there's a lot of teams, and Indiana is receiving some votes in the top 25 as well. Mm-hmm. That's a deep conference. And it's hard for me to see who's coming out of it. You want to say Iowa and Luka Garza. I'm real big on Illinois. And I know my Bears handled Illinois. They gave us a damn run in that first half, and we beat them by 13. We were up by, I think, almost 20 after a while.
Yeah.
We handled them, but Illinois is pretty young in the backcourt. That's a good ball club. And I think I Luka Garza is great. He'll probably be the player of the year. He really probably will. But this Illinois team came out and they just beat that Duke Blue Devil ass on was it Tuesday.
Yeah.
I'm big on Illinois.
Yeah, I think you have to be. I think the way that they're playing right now is really just kind of fun to watch more so than anything. Yeah. And, you know, it, again, if your only loss is 12 points to a team that could arguably be the best team in the country any given week, that's not a bad loss, you know. And you got rid of it early, and it's at a conference. Like, it's not going to affect you much. Mm-hmm. If you're Illinois, but it's a good scar to have early in the season for them.
And they have a big contender for player of the year too, in Ayo Dosunmu, who's averaging 22.6 points a game, 8 boards, 6 assists on 51% shooting. Mm-hmm. This guy's awesome. I got to see him play obviously against my Bears. He put up 18 points, 6 boards and 5 assists. And let me look, with the way Baylor plays defense, the fact that he scored 18 on that defense means he's a damn good ball player. Yeah. And he dropped 18 against Duke as well, 27, 22, 28 in his other 3 games against way lesser opponents. Mm-hmm. But this team is very good. I mean, they've scored 122, 97, 77, 69, 83. The only time they scored less than 70 is against one of the top 2 defenses in the country, and still putting up 69 on a team that's that good defensively is impressive. It's impressive ball he's playing.
Absolutely. You look at all the advanced metrics, and Baylor and Gonzaga are pretty much 1 and 2 in the main defensive categories.
Right.
You're going to struggle a little bit playing against a team that's that good.
Right. Right. But, right.
But I like them a lot. I'm with you on Michigan. I think they are littered with seniors and juniors this year, which can only help when you're starting out 5-0 and you're going to make that run. Yeah. They're getting a couple of contributions for some underclassmen who are playing well, which is great. They've got a good mix. Yeah. Scary. Let them 5 games now, let them get 15, 16 games. You hit that 20 mark, you start getting a Big Ten, tournament play. Like, there could be a few upsets here by the end of the season.
For sure. We're going to learn a lot about Iowa tomorrow. Iowa plays Iowa State, and Iowa State is not quite as good as what they have been in previous years. Iowa State has been traditionally a very good basketball team. Usually the Big 12 is sitting there as probably one of the top 2 conferences, but I think if the Big 12 might be a little down, despite the fact that Kansas, Baylor, and West Virginia and Texas Tech are all real good teams.
Sure.
But not having Iowa State and Oklahoma State as like firm top 25s is going to hurt them. But we'll learn a lot about Iowa tomorrow night. They play Iowa State at 8 p.m. That game's still on, as far as I know. The last time out, Iowa did win. They're actually 4-0 now, and they're playing UNC, or they played UNC. They won 93-80. Beating the Tar Heels is always good.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Who do you like to come out of the Big Ten?
As champ. Golly. It's hard to pick against Tom Izzo when everything's kind of even. I probably am going to trust him and that squad maybe more than everybody else.
Fair.
So how do you pick against Michigan State? But that's going to be a loaded. I mean, the Big Ten may have 6 teams that go to go into March or set, you know what I mean? Like, they could send.
I mean, I think they'll probably have most of the conference go in.
Yeah.
Go
they'll, Exactly. Yeah, they'll send half the conference to March Madness. Like, it's not, if you lose in the Big Ten tournament, it's not like it's most likely not going to be a bad loss.
No, the Big 12 and the Big 12, Big Ten, ACC will probably take up almost 20 spots probably between the three.
Yeah, 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 that makes sense.
And the SEC, let's talk about the SEC.
Yeah,
it looks like, I mean, your Vols have played one game, but it looks like they, I guess they're going to be the class. I don't know. I
mean, it's high time is what I say. No, I think that
it's going to be a down year for the SEC.
I think it's going to be a down year. I don't necessarily, Tennessee included, so I try and be unbiased. I don't really trust a team in the SEC yet. You know, obviously it's very early, but when you see teams like Florida is playing decent, they're just not getting a lot of looks right now.
They're getting 90 votes in the top 25, so they're fringe. Missouri's getting some looks.
Yeah, Kentucky's, you know, falling off. You know, it's going to take a while though. And even Cal, you know, I'm still scared of Cal anytime his name shows up in a tournament. Right. I think you just have to be. But yeah, I think here's the thing. This has to be the year for Tennessee. And again, I will try and say this as unbiasedly as possible.
No, dude, be biased. Who cares?
if this is the year, right? So a couple years ago, you had Grant Williams, you had Schofield, Bone, you had all those dudes. You made the run. Everybody knew it was coming. This is that year again, just 2 years later. You got a lot of guys back. This is probably the most talented roster that Rick Barnes has ever had from top to bottom, outside of, you know, 1 or 2 years at Texas, because he just had some incredible players there. The SEC is down. Like, this is the year, because everybody's playing, what, 22 games? Something like that? 20, 22?
Something like that, yeah.
This is the year for Tennessee to go, like, 16-4 and just smoke some people and just really make a statement. And I think that's possible.
I think so. And they've got a lot of seniority here, too. I mean, you've got juniors and seniors all over this roster. That's so valuable in college basketball, because you just don't have that kind of experience as a top 15 team, really. I mean, it's pretty bizarre that they have that kind of experience on the roster.
Yeah, and we can start five lefties. So there you go.
What a wild thing they can do. Tennessee, we'll find out more about Tennessee playing Cincinnati. Cincinnati is traditionally good at basketball, as is a lot of Big East basketball. They have St. Joseph's and teams that we forget about because it's the Big East, which is not really even a conference anymore.
It's more of a thought than it is a conference.
It really is. But, I mean, looking at this SEC schedule, you guys get into SEC on New Year's Eve against Missouri, at Missouri. I hate there. You know, it sucks that Tennessee's not on TV really at all. They have two games on ESPN and one on CBS, which that CBS game, I bet, gets bumped because it's against Kentucky, unless Kentucky ends up good. But they play Missouri. Missouri will be decent. Alabama is not good. Arkansas is not good. Texas A&M is not good at basketball. South Carolina, you never know with South Carolina. They did come out of nowhere a couple years ago.
Sure.
Vanderbilt, Vandy's not going to be good. Florida will be fine. Missouri, Mississippi State, no. You do have Kansas versus Tennessee, which is interesting.
I'm very excited about that game.
But looking at this, man, I mean, there's just not a lot of losses here. Like, I think the Tennessee loses to Kansas, but that's a month and a half before that game happens.
Sure.
But I don't think they lose to Missouri. I don't think they lose to Alabama, Arkansas, Texas A&M, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Florida. Maybe that'll probably break the streak, and maybe they go back to back losses against Missouri. But I mean, I'm with you. I don't see where they lose many games, you know?
Yeah, I think this has to be the year where it's not. This Tennessee team cannot afford to be 11-9. Is what I'm. You know what I mean?
No,
they can't be 11-9.
No, they won't go dancing.
No, exactly. Yeah, but they, you know, you've got to be 15-5 going into the tournament with the top seed, or 16-4, or 17-3, or whatever that looks like. They have to be the number one seed going into the SEC tournament, because nobody else is in a position to take that right now, like Tennessee is.
Let's talk about the ACC, and specifically, let's talk about Coach K first. So Coach K came out. Oh my God. And did you watch that video I shared from the Barstool Sports guys?
I think so. Yeah.
with PFT. So you guys think what you want about Barstool Sports, but I like, pardon my take, it is frat boy humor, but the, you know, that's the one show I like from them. They literally called Monday or Tuesday after Coach K's first conference loss or non-conference loss. They said, Coach K, he was all for the tournament. He was the first person in all of sports to say that college sports need to come back, football or basketball. Coach K was the first to say anything. Maybe he wasn't. It might have been Herb Street that was first, but the first name that mattered that said anything. Saban wouldn't even say anything. Like, even the Saban wasn't even, he, like, they'd ask him, he'd be like, well, I don't know if we need to come back right now. I'm Nick Saban. We're going to win the title anyway.
Yeah.
That's how he talks. I'm going to get COVID twice. I'm Nick Saban. Anyway, but they asked Coach K said, we can't go another year without the tournament. Coach K loses. And like Barstool Sports guys, PFT says, man, what's going to happen is he's going to say, we need to reassess things. Maybe we need to look at how we're playing, be safe. The vaccine's around the corner. We can wait to play until everyone gets vaccinated. And then they just get mollywopped, to take the word from you, by Illinois. I mean, that game was a 15-point game. Nah, that game was a 50-point game. Illinois spanked that ass.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And Coach K, of course, says, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? Stuff is crazy. Like, he acts like he's just like, it's a different conversation that we'll get into right after this, but he acts like he hasn't been watching TV all year long, where every sport's gone through this in the first 6 weeks.
Yeah. It's this, this is so incredibly in Coach K's wheelhouse that it's funny, but it's not like when a coach steps up to the mic and says something that's completely out of character and like gets your attention and you go, oh my goodness, what?
Yeah.
This
yeah,
wasn't yeah, yeah. that. This was not that. No. You hear Coach K. I mean, I expect this from Coach K, and I expect this from Roy Williams. I like Coach K a lot more than I like Roy Williams. I have thoughts about Roy, but whatever. But this is on brand for Coach K, because when he's not been the most gracious loser in the last, say, 4 to 5 years of him coaching.
No.
Yeah. And so this makes a lot of sense. But he only wants to cancel the non-comp. He only wants to, you know. And you go, yeah, man, we get it. You suck. Like, again, Cal, 1-4, getting dogged every day, has not said a word about, well, really, we need to. And if you think about, like, he has not come out and said that.
Dude,
he said, we are young. You guys wanted me to play a tough schedule early, and I did. And I'm showing you our flaws early, and you're mad. I'm not mad. You are.
Dude, Baylor and Iowa and Gonzaga have barely been able to play from COVID issues.
Yeah.
And they had, like, Baylor and Gonzaga was canceled like an hour and a half before tip off.
Mm-hmm.
Gonzaga canceled the whole week of games. Baylor had to reschedule, like, they had to scramble to be able to play. Number two team in the country couldn't find anybody to play because Arizona State canceled on them. Iowa State had to cancel some games. Nobody else is complaining but Coach K. Yeah. And maybe they are complaining, but it's like, I think they could have done things better with college basketball. But this is the thing that's driving me crazy in the pandemic. And maybe it's going to make me sound insensitive, but I don't mean it to be. Like, we do this with every sport as it restarts. Like, baseball started, and rightfully so with baseball, because it was the first time it happened. But baseball starts, and they're going all around the country. And I didn't think they'd finish the season. Did you think they'd finish the season at that point?
No.
NFL starts, and like that one time MLB got through it, they got through their stuff, they got through the threat of canceling, and then everything got better. And then I went, okay, well, this is just how it's going to be.
Yeah.
NBA went through, and they had a ton of people positive for the beginning of the bubble, and then that was it. Mm-hmm. Now mine bubbled to NHL 2, so that doesn't really count. NFL, I mean, yeah, the NFL's had its scheduled games at multiple times. I would argue that the NFL's rescheduling has actually been good for them in a sense, because they got like, what, 10 million viewers on a Tuesday night because the Cowboys were playing.
Yeah.
So they've gotten all their games in. Now, the NFL just sucks at enforcing policy. And college basketball probably should have they should have forced multiple preseason tournaments. But to me, I mean, they're still finishing about 75% of their games that are scheduled are being played. Yeah. That number's going to go down during this holiday, but I think they'll be fine. College football, I think, has been a success, even if it's not as fun to watch without the pageantry and the fans.
Yeah.
We're going to have a champion. Ohio State's going to get to play because, of course, they are. They were never going to not get to be in the playoff if they win. Okay, that was never going to happen because why would it? It shouldn't. I don't. It's a pandemic. Who fucking cares about the rules? Just put put people in that are good for viewership, whatever. Mm-hmm. Alabama and Clemson are playing each other anyway. Yeah. But to me, I wish that we would stop doing this as a society and understand that Cam and Tony don't live in the same world that college and pro athletes live in. They're tested 3 or 4 times a week, and they're retested when they come up positive to make sure they're actually positive. Mm-hmm. They will be fine. The NCAA just has to get off their ass and find a way to make this work, and they will, because there's too much revenue to be lost. And we need to remember, too, that these kids have dreams to play in the NBA. More importantly in this sport than football, these kids need to play, and they need to get their best foot out in front of them and play these games and make an effort to look like a draftable prospect to the NBA, because a senior in the college basketball going into the NBA is not the same age as a senior going into the NFL. A senior mm-hmm. in college basketball is fucking old, and mm-hmm. he's old for the NBA. These guys need to play. We have to find a way for them to play, so we don't have these kids who are in great athletic shape at low risk for this. They need to play so they have a chance to live their dreams. The world will move on.
Yeah.
And they're protected pretty well, I think. Maybe I'm crazy, Cam.
No, I don't think so. I think that everybody's talking about NCAA doing a bubble, which in theory,
and do it for March Madness.
Yes, do it for March Madness. Now, in theory, that is the easiest idea.
But, in theory.
Yeah, in theory. Communism is a good idea in theory, too. But you forget the fact that, like, these kids, this is not their job to be an athlete.
Right.
They also have to go to school, and they also have other obligations that they have to fulfill. So they're doing the best at what they can do right now, so that when March comes, they can bubble everybody up in the same city or the same big city and have them play in multiple different areas, but it's a controlled factor. We're dealing with an uncontrollable factor right now where everybody's spread out across the country. And you just kind of have to work through those kinks. And they've got the benefit of being the last major sport to go. So they've seen baseball, they've seen hockey, they've seen the NBA, they've seen the NFL.
Right.
Now it's their turn. So they've taken all this data from here and gone, well, the first part of the season is really going to suck for us because a lot of bad things are going to happen. But if we can weather that storm, we're going to be okay.
Right. And ultimately, the thing is, too, and I try to explain this to people, is none of these basketball programs, your bubble teams will be concerned about playing non-conference games. But your major players, like you said, man, like your Baylor's, Gonzaga's, Iowa's, Michigan State's, Duke's, Kansas, Tennessee. Well, Tennessee will be dicey, but just because the SEC, maybe I don't think they will. But let's so I don't jinx your team.
Yeah, no,
your top 25 teams right now, in all likelihood, are probably going to continue to be top 25 teams. Well, let's say your top 15 teams will be top 25 teams all year long. So unless someone gets injured. So those teams, if they don't play, like if Gonzaga and Baylor never play each other, they never make that game up. It doesn't ultimately make a difference. No. Gonzaga will be the number one overall seed. Baylor will be at no more worse than a 3 seed by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Probably like the top 2 seed at worst. Yeah. Iowa, if they don't play Iowa State tomorrow, they will still be a 1 or 2 seed when it comes to March. Yeah. You're right. We do. We just have to get through this. And we have to remember how bad it was at the beginning of college football. Look, we're freaking out right now about this because the Big Ten is a shit show. But here's a secret. The Big Ten in football is a shit show because they didn't start on time.
Yeah.
If they started on time like the SEC and the Big 12, they'd be fine, just like the SEC and the Big 12 and the ACC have been.
Yeah.
So we're not thinking about that either. Look at what the ACC, the Big 12, and the SEC did in football. They started reasonably on time for their conference schedules, and they will finish everything because they give themselves breathing room for reschedules.
Yeah.
You cannot take what's happening with the Big Ten in football and make it a transitive property to college basketball. It doesn't work that way. College basketball has plenty of time to get these games in.
Yeah.
It will be fine. Tap the brakes. The season will happen. and my Bears will be the champions.
There you go. Yeah, I'm with you. In basketball, like, Baylor can play on Monday and then drive to Houston on Wednesday and play a game.
Well, this shit, in the SEC, they can drive to everywhere in like 3 hours.
Exactly. Like, this is a different animal. Like, if Florida State football, or, you know, misses, they, it may take them a month and a half to replay that game because of the scheduling.
Right.
You can only play every 6 days, every 7 days or whatever.
Right.
Basketball, it's like, I miss you on Monday. If you have an opening on Thursday and I have an opening on Thursday, like, we can probably make this work.
Like, literally, Notre Dame and Baylor almost scheduled each other, except that Gonzaga, they got canceled too late. Gonzaga, like, Notre Dame was just going to drop their Sunday opponent and play Baylor instead.
Yeah, exactly. See, and like, it's
that's how it works in college basketball. Like, they, it's like, they don't schedule these teams. That's, and it's not like college football. They don't schedule these games years and years in advance. Like, maybe the year of, like, Gonzaga Baylor was scheduled in like June.
Yeah, you can afford in basketball to change very, very quickly. You can go, hey, I'm dropping you and I'm picking you up, and you can do that in a matter of 24 hours.
Yeah.
And it doesn't change the world, you know.
Right.
It's like, hey, you know, transportation may be different, but other than that, like, everything's good.
This spurred a great conversation. We were actually supposed to talk about the big the ACC, but I like what we did there.
Not really. You got ACC.
No, I don't either, and I think they're having a down year. Duke, and I don't even know who to say is going to come out of it, because you've got Duke that's still in the top 10. They don't belong there. Mm-hmm. Virginia Tech, North Carolina, Virginia, Florida State. I just don't know. I don't know how I feel about. Oh my God! Thank God, San Diego State covered. Yeah, baby.
There it is.
Hell yeah. They handled Arizona State by 12. Arizona State's a good ball club too. That's a good win for San Diego State. San Diego State's a good ball club too. I guess Duke will probably come out of the ACC. I don't know, man. It's not a bad Duke team. It's just not a Duke team, you know?
I'll take Virginia Tech.
Okay.
I don't know why. Sure. I'll take Virginia Tech.
Yeah. Who cares? Right.
Like, So Luke Garza is going to be the player of the year, right?
I think so. So I know, like, Jared Butler from Baylor is getting some love. I don't think he's consistent, I don't think his numbers are eye popping enough to win it. I think Luka Garza is pretty eye popping.
So I've looked at USA Today and SI for very early, for absolutely no reason, 2021 NBA mock drafts.
Yeah.
Where is Luka Garza being drafted?
Second round. I'm guessing he's down. He's either bottom, like, either 20 to 30 in the first round or top 10 in the second.
So the USA Today has him at number 32. Out of 60. And SI doesn't even have him on their list of 60.
So this doesn't surprise me.
I'm guessing that's a typo.
I don't think so. Now, mind you, that's crazy, because this man is averaging 30 points, 11 boards, and 3 blocks right now.
Yes.
But he's a senior. And I know for you and I.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. Luka Garza is a 1980s big man.
Mm-hmm.
He's an old big man. Mm-hmm. He is in the wrong generation for his game. Because even he's like, would you say he's more or less athletic than the Joker?
Oh man,
I might say he's less athletic.
Yeah,
and Jokic isn't crazy athletic. I mean, Jokic is just technically very good. Now, this guy, like, he's going to be 22, 23 coming into the NBA next year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty old for the NBA.
Yeah, some guys are on their second contract by 23.
Like, I'm pretty sure Luka and Trae Young will be on their second contracts at 23. Yeah.
Probably.
Luka is an MVP candidate and he's 21.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel, and it's crazy to see that a player of the year may go undrafted in the following NBA draft. Like, that's insane to think. Mm-hmm.
It's always crazy to me when you watch these college basketball players that you fall in love with, right? Like, remember Adam Morrison back in the day? I thought Adam Morrison. I loved Adam Morrison, man. That was the Adam Morrison, JJ Redick, right? That was those guys were around at the same time.
Yeah.
I loved them. I thought then Ruddick, of course, ended up having, I would say, a great NBA career. I think his face, I think we should say he has lasted a long time.
Mm-hmm. He has made his money.
He's made a lot of money, and he's played on a lot of teams he's been in the playoffs almost every year of his career. I think every year except last year, right? This year, I think, was the first time he missed the playoffs, I think, in his career.
Really? I don't know that stat. He played on a bad Orlando Magic team, I would presume.
It might, yeah, but I think they made the play. It's the East. I think they made the playoffs though.
He may have. I don't know that stat. So he may have though. He may have.
He's made the playoffs a shit ton. Just a shit ton.
Sure.
So JJ Redick had a great career, but Adam Morrison, I thought would have been the guy that had. I thought Redick would have been Morrison. Like, I thought the roles would have been switched.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, God, more. Adam Morrison is just in a long line of why, Michael, why? I think if there was a documentary titled that, I think that would be a really fun 12-part documentary to, oh, no, we should just stick with the dance. We should just stick with that.
Stick with the last dance. Yeah. There you go.
The last dance. Let's not do a 30 for 30 on how bad Michael Jordan is as an owner. Let's not do that.
Dude, I can't wait till LeBron owns a team and is better at it than Jordan.
LeBron's already better at it than Jordan, and it's not his job.
No, he ended up with fucking Dennis Schroeder. Like, and why is nobody talking? Like, this is NBA talk now. Now we're off campus.
Well, no, I mean, we go back on campus.
We can in a second. But, I put money already on the Lakers to repeat. Why is nobody talking about how big of a deal it is that they got Dennis Schroeder? Do people not understand how good this guy is?
Yeah, and they got Montrezl Harrell at a fraction of what he should have signed for in any other free agency market.
And they also kept KCP. So they lost Avery Bradley and got a massive upgrade in Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah.
They kept KCP, who's a great shooter.
Yeah.
They added another rebounder in Trez.
Yeah.
Did they keep JaVale McGee or they lose JaVale McGee?
It doesn't matter.
I
think they kept him.
It doesn't really matter. They lost Rondo and Dwight Howard, which might be good, actually.
I don't know. I'm still on Howard helped them win that title. I don't care what anybody says. Howard was a vital part of them beating Denver.
It's just crazy to me they're not talking about Dennis Schroeder. Anyway, back on campus.
For sure. I agree with you.
I'm trying to see if there's really any big matchups over the weekend, and that's kind of why I want to do this podcast today. Iowa State versus Iowa is tomorrow night. That should be a great game.
Yeah.
Battle of Iowa, a state that, I mean, who wants to win that state? Presidents?
Corn farmers?
That's true. That's fair.
Anybody that's a massive fan of Field of Dreams?
True. My most recent college plays my first college, Texas Tech versus Texas A&M Corpus Christi. That won't be a good game. Texas A&M Corpus Christi has made the tournament exactly one time, and I was there the year they made it, and that is it. But Texas Tech, let me tell you what I'm worried about with that Texas Tech Red Raider team. They're not very good offensively.
Guns up. Yeah.
They're pretty terrible. Their defense is amazing. But offensively, they are garbage.
Yeah. And you wonder, I mean, yeah.
They're struggling with everybody.
The blueprint was laid by Virginia, where you can be a really awesome defensive team, but if you can't figure out how to get a bucket, you're going to lose as a one seed.
Right. That happens all the time. Well, here's the thing, too, is Baylor's Scott Drew's early Baylor teams would do that. Mm. They were great offensively, but then they wouldn't they just wouldn't score very often. They just weren't consistent scorers.
Yeah.
And so we would come in we got beat by Cornell one year as a three seed and out of fucking nowhere because we couldn't score consistently. So I worry about them. Texas versus Baylor is Saturday actually. So that's a pretty massive matchup. I do worry my Bears will lose to Texas there. Cause Shaka Smart is coaching like old Shaka Smart. Where was he at before? Starts with a V. What's the damn name? Oh my God. Where was he VCU? At before? Yes. VCU. Yeah. Yes.
A V. Yes. I thought you were saying a B. I was like, he didn't coach anywhere with a B.
No, V for victory.
Yes. There you go.
But there's not really any big matchups. Like, we kind of missed them all. They almost all got rescheduled.
West Virginia Richmond could be fun. Richmond's always a fun basketball team whatever the reason is. And I think that'll just be a good, I don't know. I just think that'll be a really fun matchup. Florida State, Florida will be fun.
Florida State, Florida will be fun. You're right. That will actually be fun.
I listen, man. We're on.
Oh,
we're on,
you know what? I'm stupid. St. John's versus Seton Hall tomorrow afternoon is going to be great.
What's that? I skipped right over that one too.
They that those two teams are always fun to watch play.
Yeah, I guess I don't.
I'm on the ESPN schedule.
Yeah, there you go. We're on Grand Canyon for Sunday this weekend. Grand Canyon at home, upset over Arizona State. Let's go.
Ooh, is it Texas? Is it Tennessee versus Arizona State?
No. Grand Canyon is playing Arizona State.
Ah.
On Sunday. the school, Grand Canyon University.
Before we get out of here, I'll tell you somebody I watched that was a lot of fun last night.
Yeah, sure.
I really enjoyed watching Pepperdine versus Cal, not because it was a great game, but Pepperdine's got a little spunk.
Right?
Like, I don't think they're very good, but they're, I mean, that game had everything. It had biased announcers that were upset on ESPN Plus because Cal didn't look very good. It had a 6-minute scoring drought from both teams and really high scoring offense on either side of those droughts. And let me, as a gambler, I was like, well, they're hitting this over, baby. And then as soon as I hit that bet, just drought, man, like no scoring for 6 minutes. They were on pace to score like 170. Scoring, yeah. I think, is kind of down this year, by the way. I've bet a lot of overs that typically would have hit, and I'm not seeing a lot of overs hit right now. Like the 144 range is a tough over right now.
When you come off of a layoff or when you come off of a wonky offseason that they've had, typically the defense is always the first thing that kind of picks
right. We saw that in the NFL.
Yeah, it's always the defense that comes that shows up first, and then the offense needs a little bit of time to cook and get back up there. So yeah, I'm not shocked that a lot of unders are hitting right now.
Sure. Yeah. So I don't know how often Cam and I will do this show. There's not a lot going. Huh.
Every day.
It'll probably be like at I don't think no less than biweekly. It just kind of depends. Once conference season gets going first of the year, I think we can really start getting into it every week. But right now, we might switch. I don't know. We'll talk. Cam and I will talk about it off air. But we'll do an NBA pod too. So I don't know if 1 week we'll do college basketball, 1 week we'll do NBA. Maybe we just cut this down to 30 minutes because it won't be the first episode. We can cut, like, this is what these teams look like. Who do you like rising? Who's falling? Who's a bubble team? We'll go on, do 30 minutes and knock out NBA.
Yeah.
Because the NBA is going to be awesome. I mean, I think the NBA season is going to be incredible this year. The bubble, I think bubble play is going to extend to the NBA season. I think the regular season is just going to be phenomenal. It's been in the play in the regular season. The NBA has just been getting better every year for about 5 years now.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll talk about it. Cam, is there anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
No.
You never do. When's the next episode of the Sports Market?
Next episode of the Sports Market is on Monday. I have my buddy KJ from Symbol is coming on.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about the launch of the NBA section of the Sports Market, so you can start buying NBA stocks. It's up and ready to go right now, but we're going to have a big launch party on Monday. It might be a live. We might get a little crazy. Who knows?
Yeah.
But that's going to be it. So we're really excited about that.
Yeah, it's really cool. That Sports Market thing we've talked about not enough, actually. And we have Thrive Sports that is up here. We'll talk about as well here. If you're here now, you'll use our code. But the Sports Market thing is really awesome. And I'm pretty excited. I don't really care to own stock in an NFL team. But basically, you go to symbol.app, check it out. They'll have NBA up. And so you buy into a team that you think stock is high. Here's a spoiler. If you're like, well, I'm going to buy Luka in the Mavs, it's like $30 a share. Maybe look at like an Atlanta Hawks or somebody that's a little cheaper.
Sure.
But you get a dividend payout from every win, which is like 50 cents, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 50 cents for every win. And then basically their stock goes up, it rises or it falls. I don't know where the Phoenix Suns are, but they seem like they would probably be reasonably priced unless a lot of people are buying them, but it's like a real world stock market. So
it is based off of the real stock market.
Yeah. So if people are really high on a team, then it's going to be an expensive share. If you feel like you have some inside information that makes you think that a team is going to start rising, like you like a New York Knicks or somebody, you think they're going to be better and people are going to buy into them long term.
Yeah.
You can make some money. From what I understand, like it's you can make some decent money buying and selling there if you pay attention every day.
Yeah. So I'm invested on the football side. I'm very excited to diversify my portfolio into the hardwood.
Good words. Thank
you very much. The Kings under $20 a share.
I like that number.
The Hornets under $18 a share.
You can keep your Hornets. I like the Kings share.
A little bit for you there. So little wet the, you know,
wet the whiffle.
Yeah, a little wet the whiffle.
So yeah, that'll be really cool. And then Thrive Fantasy does football, golf, and then NBA starting, which is on the 22nd. The NBA season starts. Cam and I will do next week's episode. We'll of Hoop There It Is. We'll be NBA because duh.
That'll be crazy.
We got a lot to cover. We'll talk. I think we'll talk about some betting on that as well. I think we'll talk about some odds.
Yeah, talk about the over unders on win totals and stuff for sure.
Yeah, baby, yeah. I'm about it. NBA is going to be a lot of fun, and Cam and I are the hoops guys basically for Shooting the Sports is sport. And I'm the lisp guy apparently because I can't speak today. Yeah. But we'll have stuff. But Thrive Fantasy use code Shoot Sports Ish. Download it. Go to your app store. Just type in Thrive Fantasy. Pull it up. They have contests now. They actually just lowered some. They have some as low as 25 cents. And basically, like if you're a bettor, if you're someone that loves sports betting, you like betting over unders on things or prop bets, as you might know them, like on yardage or, you know, points, rebounds, assists, touchdowns, whatever. It's very easy. So you jump in there and like, do I think Cam Newton will have over 200 yards passing? If you ever put over, you don't watch football because it's not over. God, he sucks. But anyway, you go through that. You pick over under. Then you get a certain amount of points according to that. And at the end of the day, if you did really well, you make money. It's like daily fantasy, but with prop bets. And it's legal in like 38 states. So pretty awesome. So it's a pretty cool thing.
Oh, yeah. We're good, man. We are expanding. We're doing some fun stuff. We can make you financially literate and give you really good basketball information all at the same time.
That's right. So check out shootingthesportsish.com. We have a lot of stuff going on there. A lot of content. We got a little slow on putting out content over the last week. It's been tough with Thanksgiving, but we're back. We're kicking. If we're not back and kicking for sure all the way through this month, we will be in January. It's the holidays. Drink some eggnog. Take a nap. He's Cam. I'm Tony. Basketball rules. Good night.